Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. I am Greg Hahn, President, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me in the studio, Amy Anderson, Production Coordinator. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Greg.
And Adam Coons. Adam, good morning.
Morning. Well, my turkey.
We have a short week, and then, like we've said, this is going to go really fast heading into the end of the year. So we've got we work till Wednesday midday, and then it's a rush to the store to get everything we need to help our spouses or significant others with meal prep. Right. So, my job is the rolls. So I tried to get them last week, sent a picture to the kids, said I think I'm ahead of the game, and they did not like that. So so I've got to go back to the store and get fresh rolls, apparently. Okay, so on the agenda today, we got to talk about this inflation thing and the impact on the economy. We also got some earnings and some equity stuff. We got to talk also, Adam, about how we are shaping the portfolios for next year and some of the themes for next year. So with that, let's start with you today. Let's kick it off.
Just to kind of recap on last week on the company side, I had a few things. First was on the consumer retail side, it was actually a really good quarter. So we had Kohl's, Ross, Macy's, BJ's Wholesale, all beats.
Walmart, both
on the top and bottom line. So the quarter itself was good, but then pretty much unanimously across the board, cited supply chain issues might be a drag for the next quarter, and really what they're saying is, you know, they're just prepared for stock to go down and inventory to be low, and that basically if you need to buy your gifts sooner rather than later because they likely won't be there if you do Christmas Eve shopping. So I don't think that's really a surprise to anyone.
Okay, so for our listeners, you can't see this, but there's an app I'm about to show Adam called Marine Traffic, and this is the coolest app. So we have some investments that have shipping vessels as collateral.
Okay, yeah.
This app shows you every vessel in the globe and where it's located. So if you talk about how congested China is, zoom out and look at what the vessel count is in China. It is astounding where the... where the traffic is centralized. This will give you a sense of where the supply chain disruptions. So the app is called Marine Traffic. It's fascinating because we can track all of the vessels that we have as collateral through this app.
Wow.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And they're all just sitting along the coast in China.
Yeah.
And it's like, so they're just, I mean, that's China right there.
Oh.
It's just
that is amazing.
And they're all waiting to pick up, but you go up into Europe. It's really cool. But anyway, we can track our vessels too, Adam. I know that was kind of one of the things you were looking to do.
Yes, it was.
But when we talk about supply chain disruptions, it's one thing to talk about, it's another to really see how how this thing is working, because then you can track to see how these vessels are sitting, how long they're sitting in port, and some of these vessels are days in port waiting to get loaded up.
Yep.
So
amazing. And I don't know if this is true in China, but obviously in the U.S. the issue is predominantly the fact that there aren't enough port workers.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the boats they're not getting unloaded fast enough.
Well, and then when you get to the dock and you unload it, there aren't enough truck drivers.
Right. Everything's just sitting. Yep. And then additionally on the equity side, had NVIDIA and Intuit earnings. Both were better than expected.
Intuit was really strong.
Really strong. Yeah. So really that was based on the fact that we've seen more people, because they're staying at home, willing to do their own taxes. And then on the flip side, you've had the business side pick up as they have the register with QuickBooks, processing payments. And then speaking of processing payments, last week we had Visa and Amazon UK butt heads. Amazon UK is saying they're no longer going to accept Visa credit cards. This is over a dispute on the transaction fee. And I think what we're really seeing here is the fact that margins are being pressured. So companies are having to go after every aspect they can, and one of them for Amazon is reducing that cost, and Visa wasn't willing to do it and said Amazon said yep. we'll do without you.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know if this is going to be a trend that we see elsewhere, but my guess is probably, because once again, I think, you know, with wages continuing to increase. It's just
right. We saw this 2 years ago with the whole Costco issue around American Express, and American Express was the loser. Visa was the winner.
Yep. So I think it's just one of those games of, you know, who's willing to hold out the longest, and, you know, how much do you lose if you miss out? At the end of the day, if you still use PayPal or something like that, you can still use your Visa credit card, and they still are going to accept Visa debit cards. But like I said, I think it's just a trend. Really, I think Amazon's trying to get people to move towards Amazon Pay. That's really the reality.
Yep.
And then just backing up and going to a higher level, just to talk stock markets, equity markets in general. Obviously, we've seen COVID cases pick up across Europe, and we just talked about supply chains, wages are up. But the S&P 500 is still at all-time highs, up 25%. And the NASDAQ 100 is actually now outpacing the S&P 500, which is kind of lagged all year, is up 28%. So an incredible year coming off of last year, which was an incredible year. It's just kind of difficult with valuations as stretched as they are. We've talked many times about, you know, 33 times this year's earnings, 26 times next year's earnings. And basically, the market's pricing in another 17% growth in earnings next year. I feel like we're setting ourselves up for a pretty high bar. It's going to be difficult to hurdle. I don't know what you think.
Well, and so that also, because when we move further out, the year-over-year comps become more difficult.
Yep.
So we don't have that catalyst for additional growth. So there's a the base. We haven't landed on this, but it looks like the base case scenario. If there's three scenarios, markets go up, markets go sideways, or markets go down. If the base case is markets go sideways, that's just not acceptable
right.
for investors. That in and of itself will cause disruption.
Yeah.
With flat returns and the argument in an asset allocation that's limited to stocks, bonds, cash, and your cash isn't keeping up with inflation.
Not even close. Bonds aren't even keeping up with inflation.
Right. Well, that's the challenge. It's going to just look like what am I really doing with this portfolio? And that's the challenge. It's just a limited opportunity set. And I think the key is going to be. Well, we know one thing. We're not going to sit here. This is not the place. We're moving from one place to another place. So this is not the normal. So to have inflation persist at 5% with growth moving from 2%, maybe it goes to 5% this next quarter. But right. you know, kind of the growth all over the place because of the COVID disruptions. But if we look at the markets, we translate this 5% into, okay, is the Fed going to, is this, you know, really transitory inflation, or is the Fed going to have to make a move? Ultimately, we have to make a bet on that. And doing nothing is not really a comfortable bet at this point in time.
No.
So that's where we come out, is that at some point, the risk is that the Fed moves faster to curb the pace of inflation so that it doesn't have a grip on the economy and capital markets. And so right now it doesn't appear the Fed's doing much of anything.
No, not really.
And neither is the UK. This is a global issue too. Inflation in the UK is spiking. So you've got you've got inflation across developed countries globally. Supply chain disruptions that are going to take time to normalize, a spike in commodity prices that won't come down anytime soon. So we're here for a while.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for the spend, for consumption? It's going to translate next year into it's going to be a different market than what we're in right now.
Yeah.
So we have to accept that.
Which brings us to where you started, was how do we position portfolios? And I think last week when we talked, we were starting to consider the idea of value, because, you know, it seemed like the underperformer over the last decade, it seems.
Yep.
So we're looking through trying to see where are the opportunities, and we start to look through value and see, well, at the end of the day, it's really just a really big bet on financials.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at low volatility strategies, it's a really big bet on telecom and utilities.
Yep.
And so it's really a struggle. Where do you go
Yep.
to play defense, to continue to try to, you know, outperform, it just seems to be getting more and more difficult.
And then if the corollary to that question then too is, if you invest globally, is the U.S. really the best place to to invest? And obviously for the last decades it has been.
Right.
But in the 90s we saw both developed and emerging emerging economies just light up. I mean, they were on fire in the 90s. And so I think that's all based on money flows. So if we do see money flowing into emerging economies, it'll help. China now is the biggest classified emerging economy, so that dominates. and that's where, you know, that's where we spend a lot of time focusing as well.
Yes.
So for our listeners, you can tell that Adam and I have a lot of questions, not a lot of answers at this point. But I think what you're going to see, though, is this will translate into, we're not extremists. You won't see portfolios that have elevated levels of cash because we are in a period of uncertainty. We're going to shift portfolios around, but we do know that, you know, the horse we rode in on may not be the horse that we ride out on in 2022, is we've got a different structure that we're going to put in place.
Right.
And the foundational elements, I think, are there, but we know we'll shift the large cap basis. It's probably going to emphasize more dividend, less growth, because we are concerned about rising interest rates and the impact that has on the tech sector particularly. So with some of these business models too, I mean, it's just bizarre that you have new EV companies that come to market and immediately have a market cap in excess of the combined market caps.
Don't even have a car yet?
A Ford and GM, and they don't have a car yet, right? So that exists in a couple places where it just doesn't make sense. Look at Macy's spinning out its e-commerce business.
Right.
Why? That, to me, just does not make sense. The whole reason you did the e-commerce business was to survive.
Survive, right? What do you have left?
So you're going to force them to spin it out, and that's like the core of your business model now as you shift.
Right.
And, well, anyway, so we'll talk about that later. What else do you have?
I guess the shift, you kind of mentioned this on the Fed side, is it seems like Brainerd's picking up steam here.
I know, this is kind of like waiting for my final exam results.
Right.
I'm like, well, okay, who's the Fed chairman? They're going to announce it.
And I guess, does it matter?
I don't know. Well, yeah, yes and no. That's a great question. I would say that's kind of a wishy-washy answer, but the answer is no. I mean, we'll have a peaceful transition of this position. It's a committee position, but I think the tenor, we can move. We have the potential now to move off this tenor of we'll keep interest rates lower and watch, because there is a growing chorus of from Fed.
Absolutely,
voters that Fed members that are saying we need to take some actions. So.
Well, because I mean, so we start tapering next or in 2 weeks, which gets a lot of headlines. But at the end of the day, it's $15 billion of an $8.5 trillion portfolio.
Right, it's an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
But what really has to happen is the move in short term rates. They're saying that's what, a year or two out.
Yeah.
My bet is it's next year. If inflation persists, they're not going to have a choice. So, but we saw, I mean, it translated, we saw really good retail sales number last October, came out last week. That's teeing up for a real strong holiday shopping season this year. Consumers feeling good about it, but they're also kind of everyone's kind of twitchy about where we are from an economic standpoint. So, all right, anything else on your plate, Adam?
Nothing here.
So we did, one of the stocks we did own was Peloton, and we are out of it now. It's an interesting company, but they did announce a $1 billion stock offering last week after saying we didn't need the money, need the money. So
something changed.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the strategy for that, but I don't see that we'll be back in that stock near term. Another stock that we are in, though, is Alibaba, and Alibaba cut its growth forecast. The China market is going through a similar, a wave as the U.S. market is. It's going, consumers are slowing, and their e-commerce market is getting more and more competitive. So Alibaba cut its forecast for next year based on slowing consumer expectations. So that's one that we're watching. We're still in the stock, so it's going to be It's going to be an interesting, we expect a slow week, interesting end to the quarter coming up, and we'll see, we'll share with you the shifts we make in our portfolios as we do this, and we'll have our themes then for 2022 coming up here in the next couple weeks. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you through a short week this week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.